Hey folks, welcome to episode 338 of the Fantastic Forecast, the world's greatest podcast. I'm Dave Elliott, and I'm starting a union for podcasters. Who's with me? On today's episode, Fantastic Four 338 from March 1990, Kang's for the Memories, or Guess Who's Coming to Dinner by Walter Simonson. The issue begins where we left off last issue, with the Fantastic Five, along with Iron Man and Thor, on the time sled traveling in the time stream to investigate a mysterious time bubble. They survived a rough ride that started last issue, but the ship is still shaking like hell, Johnny is still unconscious, most likely dreaming about having sex with that blue lady who keeps popping up in his mind, and an image of these two Kangs appear, and one of them says, "At last, the endless hours of waiting are over. Our calculations were correct, and the day of our apotheosis is at hand." Wow, check out Walter Simonson and his big words. Apotheosis. A-P-O-T-H-E-O-S-I-S. The highest point in the development of something, a culmination or climax. Used in a sentence. The Fantastic Forecast reached its apotheosis a couple hundred episodes ago. Next, we see the images of the Blue Lady and Dr. Druid, of all people. He had a short stint in the Avengers in the 1980s, and the Blue Lady seems to be in competition with the Kangs, and Druid appears to be her mental slave. Back with the FF, Johnny finally wakes up, and he's spazzing out. The sled arrives at some kind of futuristic city inside the time bubble, which Thor says is the New York City of the future. But here, time has stopped. The only thing moving is the FF's time sled. Reed says everything is moving, but only very, very slowly. He says that somewhere in this time is the source of the trouble, and he does a scan and finds an unbelievable warp in time and space somewhere out beyond the Andromeda Galaxy. Next, they pick up another anomaly nearby. This little wormhole opens up, and out pops Death's Head, a robotic bounty hunter from the future and from the Marvel UK comics. Death's Head locks in on the FF's time sled, but without giving it much thought, Thor immediately tosses his hammer at Death's Head, who, riding a jet cycle thing, dodges the hammer and starts firing missiles at the time sled, and as the missiles get near, they open up and they create these nets, hoping to ensnare the time sled. But with his repulsor rays, Iron Man blasts the nets into pieces. Ben recognizes the bounty hunter. They had an encounter with each other back in issue 9 of Death's Head's own magazine. God dang, that's hard to say. Death's Head's? Reed wonders why he's there. He's from the future, 8162. Reed's like, "Hey, do you remember us? We need to talk." Death's Head remembers they had used their time machine, actually Dr. Doom's time machine, to send Death's Head back to his own time. But there was some kind of screw-up, and he didn't make it to 8162. He says, "Should I kill you now? Yes?" Reed asks, "You admitted as you were leaving, you were a killer." And DH says that he prefers to think of himself as a freelance peacekeeping agent, and asks why they've come to this time. And the FF say they were investigating a threat to destroy their universe, and perhaps they can work together. Wait a minute. They have Reed, they have Iron Man, they have Thor, they have the She-Thing. What do they need Death's Head for? He says no, he's been hired by the TVA, Time Variance Authority, to investigate why the time bubble has not self-destructed. He says the TVA is responsible for making sure time runs as it should, and if something goes wrong, they make sure it gets investigated and fixed, and Death's Head thinks the problem in this case is the Fantastic Four themselves. But before he can attack the time sled again, someone else shows up, shooting a powerful laser blast at him, and this time it's another Kang who wants to destroy the FF and keep them from uncovering the secret of the time bubble. In the blast, Iron Man's armor is pretty much beat up as he fires back at Kang, blasting him in the chest, not having much effect. But then, Death's Head makes himself useful by shooting one of his futuristic photon overburst weapons at Kang and shorting out his armor. I'm sure the FF could have handled Kang without Death's Head's help, But Walt wanted to use him, so here he is. So Kang starts to fall, and Death's Head catches him and puts him in shackles. He removes Kang's face mask, and guess what? It's not the Kang we all know and love. It's an alien Kang, a green, lizardy guy under that blue mask. Reed says he must be a Kang from another timeline, and says they need to question him. The green lizard Kang says, "Roll over and die. There's nothing you can do to make me talk." Now would be the perfect time to whip out a Hostess Twinkie, right? But Deathhead has another approach. He threatens to rip out the alien's eyes with his sharp metal teeth and feed them back to him, one at a time. Not as appealing as a Hostess Twinkie, I'm sure you'll agree. The alien says he doesn't know anything, but then he tells everything he does know. The Kang Council thinks a renegade celestial is making a terrible weapon inside the time bubble, a weapon that might give him control over the universe. The Kangs weren't able to get inside the time bubble on their own, but were able to slip in behind the FF's time sled. And then, they accidentally mistook the FF for the Avengers, thanks to the presence of Thor and Iron Man, and that's all he knows. Which seems like he knows everything, really. Deathhead proceeds to damage the Kang's armor, and Johnny surprisingly suggests they kill him. Reed is appalled by the suggestion, and says that with the Kang stuck in this time now, he'll be harmless, no need to kill him. Ben asks Deathhead if he's coming with them, and DH says that he needs to find out who's responsible for the time bubble in order to get paid. So Thor spins his hammer and creates a vortex that transfers everyone to that anomaly detected across the universe near the Andromeda Galaxy. They appear millions of light years away, outside this big metal construct, which Reed says is as big as a galaxy. And all these asteroids and planets and stuff are being sucked into the metal construct, which Reed says is drawing in the entire universe into its core. And everyone wonders who could create such a thing and why. Sounds like the Celestial's big weapon to me. Iron Man says that whatever it is, it can be found inside, so the time sled and Death's Head on his jet cycle fly into the large object. Once inside, they see a couple more Kangs flying their way, shooting missiles at the time sled. Iron Man fires his repulsors at the Kangs, but they put up a null energy force field to block their blast. Thor tells Iron Man to step aside. He's going to toss his hammer at him. First, Death's Head fires a reversed positronic energy disperser at the Kangs, which takes down their shields, and Thor's hammer flies in and hits one square in the chest. Boy, I bet that's going to leave a nice square bruise. Reed stretches out an arm and grabs that wounded Kang and starts to reel him in. The other Kang reacts by shooting these beams out of his eyes at Death's Head, rays that send him back to the future. But as he disappears, Death's Head wonders if there is a future to go back to. And I'm thinking, who cares? I'm just glad he's gone. Reed points out to Johnny that the second Kang, who was shooting at Death's Head, his shield is down. So Johnny uses his flames to serve up a little fried Kang, or is that char-broiled Kang? He's all burnt up and dead. Reed looks surprised and saddened. Torch, you killed him. Well, yeah, you idiot. That's Johnny's powers, to shoot flames at people. Hard to believe it actually took 338 issues for Johnny to actually burn someone to death, finally. His powers are like Wolverine's claws. There's really no good way to use them without killing anyone. Which is why writers usually have Johnny be the first member of the team to get his ass kicked and take him out of the fight so he doesn't have to deal with the fact that what would really happen if Johnny was spraying flames at people was that they'd burn the shit out of him. He's only useful for fighting robots, really. So in this case, Johnny's been affected by that blue lady who's been appearing to him in visions, and he's a bit out of sorts. And when Reed expresses concern that Johnny killed that Kang, Johnny just responds by saying, "And none too soon." And then he tries to burn up the other Kang, who must be a really, really evil Kang, by the way, because he's got a goatee. The Kang with the goatee avoids Johnny's flames and jumps off into this huge gap in the machine, which Iron Man says he's jumping into the machine's core. Johnny jumps off the sled and chases after him, saying he'll kill the Kang before the rest of the team can reach him. Reed says that Torch has gone crazy, and if he gets too far from the probability envelope around the time sled, Johnny could die. So they speed off after him, and then they get close to the core of the machine, and in the center, they see some kind of black hole. So all this space debris is being sucked into the black hole, and then Kang, with the Kang with the goatee, disappears into the black hole, Reed figures that the black hole is an artificial creation devouring both space and time. Next, Johnny's on the verge of getting sucked into the hole himself, and Sue is watching all this through a pair of binoculars, and then she looks up and she sees who created the machine with the black hole that's eating up the entire universe. And no, it's not a celestial after all. It's Galactus. Oh yes, he is so hungry, he's eating the entire universe. Once again, this would be the perfect time to whip out a box of Hostess cupcakes, but they don't have any available, so it appears that Johnny, the Time Sled, and the entire universe are doomed. And that's the end of this issue. To be continued next time, of course. You can find my favorite panels from each issue of the Fantastic Four and other stuff on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. You can download other episodes of this podcast at iTunes, or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. My other podcast, Comic Book Doggerel, D-O-G-G-E-R-E-L, can be found at iTunes or search for it at podomatic.com. You can also join the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/podcastff. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Double rhyme, double on a heavenly level, bank to bank.